You are now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. Segment 2 over here at Blends 2, 632 South Central Avenue in Hapeville. We're over here live, man. We're having a great time. I got DJ Reese Boogie. He just took over the ones and twos. You know, Unique was over here sitting over his shoulder, checking out, making sure he know what he's doing. And he was pleasantly surprised. He didn't realize DJ Reese Boogie had the skills that he had. So shouts out to DJ Reese Boogie, man. That's the bloodline going through. You know what I'm saying?
He's a professional.
So once again, as we sitting here, man, I want to salute everybody who's coming through 632 South Central Avenue in Hapeville. We're here every Monday. And we're kicking it every Monday. We're having a great time every Monday. We're talking sports. We're talking culture. Big shout out to Poetic, who just left a minute ago. Him, his brother Unique. Unique is good people with me all the way 100. Shouts out to Jay Rieske. He's got the Garlitos going. I hear him getting good reviews over there. So, yeah. Yes, sir. Shouts out to Crafting Queen Lonnie over here. She always get good reviews from me. So, yeah, we going up. So let's without any further ado, man, we want to push this conversation forward and talk about some of the headlines, the sports and headlines. It's funny because I was having a conversation with my cousin on the way after picking up my daughter, and we were talking about the draft, and I'm talking and I'm like, yo, we had this conversation before where he got held up on Malik Willis. He was watching the highlights of Malik. We're like, man, we need to get Malik Willis. I'm seeing what he's doing. He looked like he's special out here. And I was like, man, listen, I watched Malik Willis in the Senior Bowl. And while he's good, I don't think he's that special. Like, if we passed on Justin Fields, then we can afford to pass on Malik Willis. He was like, man, I don't know, man. I think he's special. I think he just got it. And I'm like, listen, just because you know his daddy don't mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, because Pops, you know his daddy too, don't you? Yeah, Mark. So, it's just because you know his daddy don't mean he's special. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, what I'd rather have is Jordan Davis. And this is prior to, so this is like a couple of weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? I said, I'd rather have Jordan Davis, and I put Jordan Davis on that line and pair him up with like Grady and put it on there, and we'd have something special. That's something special. You got to stop the run. You got to stop the run first, T. Yeah. If it's third and 10, it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter what the defensive end is looking like. But I told him, like, look, we got to stop the run. We stop the run, we'll be good. So he texted me today after watching the combine. And he texted me like, man, you might be right. You might have flipped me. I seen what Jordan Davis is doing. I think we need him on the line, man. I think I'm willing to get him on. But his suggestion was, why don't we trade Grady and try to get a first and second for a first or a second for Grady, put Jordan Davis on the line and build around him. I'm like, no. What we do is we trade Calvin Ridley, try to get us a second or a third, because I don't believe he'll be there for a first. And I'm like, we trade Calvin, and we going back and forth about, nah, trade Calvin, trade Grady. And he's hitting me with the, hold on. They're just saying it's breaking news about Calvin Ridley.
Ridley.
We ain't got no choice. We ain't got no choice right now.
We going to the playoffs next year.
So I say like, he says breaking news. So we had a red light and I'm stopped and I check it out. And I'm like, yo, let me see what the hell Calvin Ridley did, man. And it comes through the headlines that Calvin Ridley has been suspended for the upcoming season, the entire upcoming season, for betting on NFL games. And while they're saying he didn't have any insider information, I'm not going to say I don't believe it, but I'll say if you're in that industry, if you talk to players in your industry, and you call whoever, and I talk to you, and you play this, and you play that, I have inside information. I know what's going on with your team, so it ain't no such thing as you didn't have inside information. And then on top of that, what infuriated me more was the fact that what we didn't do was, as a Falcon fan, we didn't hear from Calvin Ridley at all after he said, I'm suffering from mental health issues, I'm out. We didn't hear from him at all. They would talk to Arthur Blank. They would talk to Arthur Smith. They would talk to Terry Fontenot. They would talk to everybody in the world, and they would say, hey, can you give us an update? And they were like, well, we haven't directly spoken to him. We spoke to some of his people. They haven't directly spoken to him. We spoke to some of his people. And I can't give you an honest answer on what he's doing. And so everybody's been speculating on what Calvin really was doing, and now that this shit came out, like, I personally find it hard to believe that you're sitting here, you're going to tell me you have mental health issues, but you find time to play a 3-game parlay on an app and $1,500, you got $1,500 on the game, and you want to tell me that you're suffering from mental health issues.
And this is right after he made the announcement to the team that he wasn't coming back.
Right. This is after that first week, right after you say you got mental health issues, you're not coming back. That next week, you on the line playing three-game parlay. So I was mad at him, and this is just me. First, I was mad at him, like, man, I'm in another text group, and we all talking to him, like, man, fuck him, man. Like, everybody like, nah, man, he knows whatever. I'm like, nah, man, because it takes a real dumbass to do something like this. It takes a special kind of asshole to sit up there and tell the team he's not going to rock with them. And then you're sitting there, while they're paying you, you're sitting there gambling. But I got out of my feelings and started thinking about Atlanta Falcon fans. Like, I'm an Atlanta Falcon fan. And I understand now, like, why people say, I can't do it. Everybody ain't got the heart for this, man. Because I remember, when I was 19, I was sitting with this dude. We about to barbecue in my apartment in my second year in college.
Second year, sophomore year. In Park Place.
Eugene Robinson, the night before the damn Super Bowl, gets caught soliciting prostitution.
Can't forget the cocaine now. The cocaine was enough.
Got the team sitting up all damn night before the Super Bowl in Miami, and we got to play a damn game. Fast forward a few years later.
And he looked like trash in that game, too.
Fast forward a few years later, we got them our star quarterback, who's arguably the face of the league, and Mike Vick, fighting dogs. Fighting dogs and act real cavalier about the shit. Like, yo, you know, it is what it is. The city gonna rock with me. It's gonna work out. No, you need to handle this, fool. Because he waited and he didn't get it handled. I'm sure Arthur Blank would have paid some money to some of them folks up in Virginia to sweep that shit under the rug. But you waited and you waited and you waited. And Peter said, oh, he's doing what? We can't have that. Not on our watch.
He was on Fox 5. You know Fox News a fucking nigga up quick.
But let's go back a little further than that. Your first round pick, Andre Bruce, and Marcus Cotton.
Bruce.
Shooting a BB gun at people on the balcony.
Man,
John Abraham was going crazy out there too at Atlantic Station.
Oh, yeah.
As a Falcon fan, like, I see why people, because every time I would ask somebody, why are you not from, you know, you from Atlanta, man. Why are you not rocking with the Falcons, dog? Like, what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? And they be like, man, them niggas snake bit, bro. They just, you know, they curse, they snake. I'm like, bro, you got to stay down. I look at him, because this is my other cousin. I look at him all the way, because I don't know how he escaped the gauntlet that was set up for me. I couldn't be in it. I couldn't fix my mouth to be around some of my uncles to say I was a damn Eagles fan or Saints fan or some other shit.
You an Eagles fan? Used to be. Yeah. Oh, hey, he said it right.
Used to be. So
he rolled whoever went. If they winning, he a fan.
Yeah, I couldn't fix my mouth. But now I get it, man, and I understand. And so I had to get one of my guys. I got my guy Dave right here. He's probably as big a Falcon fan as me, maybe bigger. He's been in it, man, and I want to understand from your perspective. Like, where do we move from here? Like, I understand the team gonna go forward, but as a fan, like, what's the next step?
I mean, you gotta do like you do with everything else. every other situation, as a fan, you just be like, you know what, fuck it, let's keep it moving and see what we do from here. I mean, hopefully we get that money off the books.
Right.
That's $11 million he was due this year, I think.
I think they said they were gonna we weren't gonna suffer the cap hit.
Yeah, so we can get that money off the books. We can go sign some free agents. So it might be might turn out to be a blessing.
Now,
I'm glass half full.
See, that's a real fan. I'm in this mud, like, man, I'm down in the dumps. I'm like, man, the hell with this. Like, I saw, like, I think it was Swagoo or Marcus Spears. Basically, was like, I wanna look and see what's wrong with Ridley, and I wanna check out his health and make sure he. I'm like, man, damn that. Like, and this is where I am. Like, I personally am. I don't know how y'all feel. I personally believe, in my heart of hearts, because I felt like this beforehand, I felt like he used this mental illness as a crutch. As I just don't want to play. I don't think this team is going to go very far. My homeboy, my mentor, Julio Jones ain't here. Once Julio checked out, he lasted for about 4 or 5 weeks. And then he was like, you know what? He looked around like, you know what?
If you look at his demeanor in practices.
Right.
When he was in Miami, he wasn't the same when Julio wasn't there.
See, and that's what I'm saying.
His energy wasn't the same. I mean, he was working out and he was doing his thing. But they said he was taking plays off.
So, yeah. With that, man, like, so am I wrong? T, you look like you want to say something, man. Get the mic from Matt. Look, am I wrong for believing, like, I know they say you can't, they judge you funny for saying somebody faking the mental illness, the mental health stuff. But I'm calling bullshit, dog.
But before T say that, as soon as he made the announcement, well, when he missed the London game for personal reasons, I was like, okay, he trying to get a handle or get ahead of something that he got going on that's about to come down the pipe. So nothing happened. So I was like, okay, well, maybe, you know, he has some family stuff going on. Then he made the announcement that, hey, I'm going to just take the rest of the season off. Usually when people, the way he did it, usually it's like, I got some legal stuff, I got some personal stuff.
Right.
When it hit the news, people are going to be like, whoa. But this actually happened after he made the announcement.
Right.
Commish, I'm just calling BS on it. Straight up. BS, that's all it is.
I believe.
There's nothing more than that. Straight BS. I haven't, honestly, once we talked about it, we probably talked about it a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was calling the same exact thing. And I just don't think it's acceptable. Just period. Just BS.
And I say the same thing about Ben Simmons. Like, I think Ben Simmons just used it because he's fragile mentally. And he was in his feelings. He was hurt. He was like, oh, I'm going to sit out. I'm going to use this mental health excuse so I can sit out, and then I can push for this trade. And then by the time I get to this trade, I can come back out. And I'm like, ooh, look, new place, new mental space. You know what I'm saying? I can play this stuff. I can play that card because, like many athletes, what they used to do is, like, say, I got a bad back, man. I can't get out there. My back hurting. Because there's a lot of places where you really can't say you don't have a bad back. You can't say I'm in a bad. I can't tell you, man. You bullshitting. You ain't in no bad place mentally. Get out there and play some football. You know how insensitive that sounds as a team. So because I can't tell you that, I can't evaluate your mind. I can't look into your eyes and say, man, you all right? Get your ass out there.
Especially with the movement of black men and people promoting, hey, you know,
mental
talk
health,
to someone,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get you some know. Help. You know, there's that whole, you know, we don't see therapists. So he used it at the perfect time. They both used it at the perfect
right.
time.
Right.
You know, for me, mental health is something that's really dear to me because I personally am dealing with it inside of my family right now. And I go back to the Olympics. I came – the little black Olympic flipping chick she fucked up.
David.
She bust her ass and she came out and screamed, mental illness, I'm having mental illness. You know, mental illness is not something that because you fuck up, you know, you can just say.
Well,
you know?
I will say, in her defense, she was saying it before the Olympics that she was suffering from something that they call like everybody in the industry, in the gymnastics industry, they call it like the yips. It's almost like you kind of jerk reaction of your flips. Like, it's almost like you see yourself falling before you fall or something, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like a snap reflex. But she was saying that she was suffering from it in practice. So, but to your point, like, she was calling it before, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
But, you know, it's just like, so with the whole Calvin Ridley situation, like, you know, I'm a Falcons fan. You know, granted, I be upset every year with him.
Bless you, man.
You know, hey, got to. I've been a fan since 89, since we drafted Deion. You feel me? But, like, when it, like I said, mental illness is something that just plays dear to my soul or whatever. And the way that it was presented with Calvin Ridley was just like, it just left a void.
Right.
You know, like you say, when we got the, you know, he played like the week before, but then when we go to London, it's like, oh, I can't play because my head messed up. Now he's suspended for a whole season. He done pulled the Pete Rose. You feel me? Yeah. And it's just like, I play Madden, and you know what I'm saying? I'm not like this Madden guru, but like the people who I play with is like all over the world. Coming to cats from Philly claim they knew Calvin Ridley, and the whole thing was he just don't want to play in Atlanta. Like, damn, dude, fuck. Just say you don't want to be here. They already, you know what? They didn't pick up your fifth-year option.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it ain't going to hurt them getting rid of that. It just bring more money back to us so we can bring in the players that need to build a team to the level that we need to be. And we only got to deal with Matt Ryan ugly ass for one more year.
But you know, but
$23
you know,
fucking million.
But you know what, though, man? With all that. You missed that discussion. We had that discussion in here. So, but there's a lot of superstars. But I won't say superstars. There's a lot of athletes that are afraid to look like the bad guy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of athletes that are afraid to look like the bad guy because if I just come out and just say, hey, man, look, I see where this is going. I don't want to be here. Y'all got to do something with me. I want to be in a different situation. You see how it goes. Look how they paint James Harden right now. Like, everybody, like, they basically saying he's a bad team. I've heard so many commentators say he's a bad teammate. And I'm like, I've never heard somebody on his team say he's a bad teammate. But when he looks around and he's in a terrible situation and he wants to leave that situation, he's a bad teammate. And I can't tell anybody, if you at your job and your job is treating you badly, it's going crazy, you want to leave that job. Whether you're working at Kroger, whether you're working at the gas station, or whether you're working for the Houston Rockets. If it's going terrible and it's not conducive to you, you deserve to get the hell out of there.
But if he's had He had to have had conversations with his agent like, hey, I don't want to be here. The NFL is a business. As soon as a team decides they don't want you there, they get rid of you. As a player, you have the right to say, hey, this ain't working for me. Let's talk about trading me to somewhere else and see how let's do something that works for me and works for you as an organization. It's that simple. And you a man. Speak up for yourself. Advocate for yourself. If they say no, they say no, but speak up for yourself and be a man. Don't use mental health and pussyfoot and try to work your way out of it that way. Cause look where it got you.
Right.
Now you got teams that's not gonna want to touch you.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay. Look.
You said it right there, boy.
Hold up.
Hey man, I'm Zone 3 Atlanta man, and yes, I've been off that Falcon bandwagon for a minute. Let me tell you why though. First of all, Matt Ryan is fool's gold. So, I don't know what he's talking about, but Matt Ryan, that's fool's gold. But the Falcons, look here, best team 1980, that probably take y'all back. You know, best team.
The Grizz Blitz team.
No, it wasn't bad in the 80s, but this don't think about
that lost
it.
To Dallas in the playoffs.
There you go, lost to Dallas. That was the team. But the problem is, we go back all the way to them Rankin Smith boys.
Right.
They supposed to have been some kind of slave freers, but they treated the team like slave owners. So
right.
That's where the Falcon woes really started. So we want to deal with the Falcons. Jinx is them Rankin Smith boys. And yeah, Arthur Blaine's came and twisted a little bit, but he ain't too much better. Y'all just don't see it.
Commissioner Gordon.
Can I say something about the James Harden thing? Everybody in the room, y'all got to be real. If James Harden would have stayed at OKC for one more year, we would be having a totally different conversation right now.
That's like that if it's a fifth, we'll be drunk.
Yeah, but seriously though, James Harden has proven that when you in your role, you play your role, you get what you're supposed to get. You play somebody else's role, you end up getting messed up. His role, he was the greatest sixth man the league has ever seen. And his position was played very well. He was coming off the bench, scoring 17 points a night, contributing to his team. But he gave up on his team for the money, and he didn't get the ring.
Commissioner Gordon.
If we go back to the Jordan era, we're going to put Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, Reggie Miller, Karl Malone, Tim Duncan on the same team. How many games they winning? How many championships they winning?
We can only pick three because so Michael far Jordan. That's in the limit. So we go Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, and who else?
Kim Olajuwon. How many championships they
win? That's
winning?
Squad.
1,000.
That's a squad. That's
they
a
still win the championship.
As many as they want.
So it's like that was the thing. They knew, these guys knew, because we had the top players but listed then. You know, you had Chris Mullin and Tim Hardaway. You had, every team had their top players, Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. But they was like, ain't no way in the world I'm going to play with the guy I want to beat.
I think they overdo it with that. Because I always believe you can always say what you won't do when you can't do it. You know what I'm saying? You ever seen somebody like, somebody might be married, a dude might be married, and he see this dude out here wilding out, and he out in the crowd, he's hollering at every girl, and he's slapping asses and all that. He just turned his home like, man, I'll never do no shit like that. Because you can't. Your wife would kill you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can always say what you won't do when you can't do it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So these guys were locked in to 10, 12-year contracts.
Right.
It's easy to say I wouldn't go play with him when I can't.
Right.
I can't just go say I want to play with Charles Barkley because they're going to be like, nah, bro, we got you.
Yeah, free agency was a lot different.
Yeah.
So I kind of agree and can see how some of that transpired. But as a NBA fan, this whole dominance, because honestly, I didn't even like it when it was kind of crazy. Even when Mike and them, because it's like you knew. Lakers, you knew. I like last year was probably some of the best basketball that I've seen in probably years because it was an unknown. Like the teams who's supposed to make it, who's supposed to win, they're out.
Right.
So actually watching, I'm like, okay, damn, well, Phoenix can win it. Damn, well, the Bucks coming back. You know, to me, that's more exciting than let's formulate the super team. Let's just try to dominate. Because to me, you want to compete. And if I got three of the top five cats on my team, the expectation is we're going to dominate y'all boys. You know what I mean? So I like it the other way, where we can compete. You don't know who's going to make it every year.
Well,
just my experience.
You don't have to work as hard when you got your super team. That was the difference in back in the day. Them dudes worked their ass off. Day in, day out. They fought every game. Like, they was bloody at the end of games. Now, it's the work ethic different.
The rules have kind of changed to that too, though. I mean, they've made this more of a softer league by making it offensive driven. Like, while we look back at it and like, yeah, the 80s and 90s was a time, and you could clothesline. So they had a thing about, I think it was a video of Kareem coming down, like the dude had hit him in his nuts, and Kareem came down and nothing involved with the play at all. He just stole on him and hit him in his jaw and didn't even get a technical foul. Didn't even get a technical foul call. It was just like, hey, referee like, hey, cut that shit out. Come on, go back down the court. And then
but I think it's about, but that's about the players too, though, because if you look at the whole, how players flop and how, and this.
That's fly to D-Vop.
Was it last year or the year before?
Really? Really?
When, it might have been last, well, no, it was the year that the Lakers won in the bubble. Rondo pulled LeBron to the side during one of the games. And he was like, bro, you complain after every call you don't get. He was like, you're the leader of the team. Lead the team. Play ball. Just play ball. You can't complain and you stop and play.
He had a nerve there, then.
You stop and play every game. every time you don't get a call, and you the greatest player in the game right now. You can't be that guy. Play ball and let the chips fall where they may. And if you notice during that playoffs in the bubble,
look, do you think LeBron
in the game right now? Like who's better than LeBron in the game right now?
I go with Damian Lillard. I like him better.
Hold on.
Let me tell you, if you gotta add a caveat, he's not the greatest.
Hold on, but let me say this. We've had about two whole seasons minus Kawhi Leonard. Have you heard anybody like, damn, I miss Kawhi? Nope. Have you heard anybody say, damn, I miss Kawhi?
Most folks would be like, is he still playing? Did he retire?
Right. The game will pass you by.
But Kawhi the quiet assassin, though.
I have,
but here's the thing, LeBron,
if you telling me you miss Kawhi, you the first person I heard say you miss Kawhi Leonard.
Commissioner Gordon.
Take it now. Back in the day, we threw them hands.
Right.
You finna throw them hands. I don't care what you do now. These boys running to their car. They run to the car now. So I'm saying, but you gotta adapt.
But you have to adapt.
Back in that era, you throwing them hands, you getting the brakes beat off.
Because nobody survived in the NBA back then. To your point,
everybody would have known that if I go and play LeBron, he's soft. He's going to go in this shell. So he couldn't have been, that would have been the scouting report.
Right.
So if you want to get a shot off, if you want to get a position in the post, if you want to get something done on the defensive end, you have to adapt.
But that's with all great players.
But look,
that's with all great players. That's with KD when he came in league. They said he was soft. He learned his post game, worked on different moves, got stronger. Steph Curry,
right.
He was weak. Got stronger.
Once again, we're live at Blends 2, 632 South Central Avenue in Hapeville. If you're listening to my voice, whether it's live, whether it's on the podcast, I encourage you to come out every Monday. Come out, have fun with us. Come out, have a drink with us. Come out, have a cigar with us. We got the Garlitos popping. Come on and kick it with us right over here at 632 South Central Avenue in Hapeville. We got Greenwood whiskey flowing. Once again, just going through it because I like to mix right here. I like to play a game called A or B conversations. So what I'll do is I'm going to give you option A, option B, and we'll talk about who you'd rather have on your team being your position player. So last week, I had Joel Embiid and Giannis Antetokounmpo, and everybody to a man said Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yes.
Is that still the consensus? Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yes. Giannis.
Giannis, every time.
I'm going with Giannis. I'll give you the reason, T. Just because I'm going to give you the reason. The reasoning was, because you could get Giannis to do just about everything Joel Embiid can do, and he could probably do it better. Mm. But you can't turn that around. You can't get Joel Embiid to do everything Giannis could do. Like, if you put Giannis in that position in the finals, does Joel score all those points and put his team over the hump?
Probably not.
Shout out to the Hawks for putting Joel Embiid out last year, and we're gonna probably put him out this year too.
I'm with, I like you, man. You're welcome anytime in my book.
I will still go.
Always. Can you come back next week?
I can, sir. Yes, I can. Yeah.
I will still go with Giannis, but I understand his hesitation. Your phone. I understand T's hesitation because when you look at. We talked about the lost art of the big man, but when you look at what Joel can be, especially if you stop showing these fucking threes, but you look at what he can be on his block with his footwork, with his moves, and the fact that he is a decent free throw shooter, old school, throwing the ball in the post, a couple moves. Like even now, the other day, this motherfucker shot like 30 something free throws or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you think about it like that, you're like, well, damn, he is a better free throw shooter than Giannis. When he applies himself, because that's to me, that's the difference. Giannis is 1,000 every game
every
he's
game.
Gonna give you.
Every
Joel game. Has to give you maybe give you 21 game, 55. You know, he don't have that same type of motor, so that, I understand his hesitation.
Joel
I'm
too
saying,
heavy.
I also think that Joel comes from the school of Shaq, where he's playing around a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He plays
heavy.
A lot. He likes to have fun.
I think Joel Embiid does not. I think he needs to condition himself better. Last year, he ran out of gas.
That's what
in so many games, they could have won.
That's what the Hawks did.
But they didn't know how to play him, and he couldn't do it.
But that's
Giannis has so much more endurance than Embiid have. And that's what we talking about earlier, that's about what, working hard. I would just work on my conditioning. He's already got the size. He's got the skill set. Bro, just get in better shape. And then we can compete for the whole game. They beat them with strategy last year.
Once again, continuing the A-B conversation. Would you rather have A, Luka Doncic, or B, Trae Young.
If you ask
me, Atlanta?
For Atlanta, you ask me?
For Atlanta or just on any team?
I'm taking Luka.
Really? You're going to take a dude who's going to play his way into shape. That's your star.
I'm taking Luka. I'm going to tell you why.
I'm going to tell you why I'm taking Luka.
Number one, Trae, like, at best 5'11".
Okay.
Luka's 6'7", solid.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear you with the whole play in shape, but if you look at Luka's numbers, matter of fact, I was talking to somebody the other day. Matter of fact, I hope you can pull it up.
Their numbers about the same.
You know what I'm finna say. So within, not even Luka, I'm gonna take it past Luka. Like, it was a stat that came up, like, him and Bron's first 250 some games, and they look at the numbers. Luka's won more games. The only thing that Bron had was more points, but it was like 0.5 or something, or maybe 1.5. Luka was averaging more rebounds, more assists.
But you know what the difference is?
I know what the difference is.
You know what the difference
is? Luka won't be in the NBA at 38 years old.
He won't, but
And LeBron,
so what I'm saying,
the Cavs
is,
was a championship threat with LeBron.
With just LeBron.
And LeBron's
early years, because
he went to the playoffs.
He
got swept by the Spurs.
Right, that was no championship threat. When you talking about
when he got swept by the Spurs,
that was no threat.
That wasn't a threat.
No, because they made
when he in
they
played the Spurs right
and got swept.
They played the Spurs right. Is the Spurs in the East or the West?
When you say threat to me, I understand that they have.
You got to be in the. You got to be in the game to win the game.
Is he going to be better than Dirk Nowitzki?
You got to beat up.
Sweat mean you didn't even show up.
You right. got to be there.
No.
They were there. They played.
That's like the worst humiliation you can get.
No.
So name another person off that squad.
Eric
Snow.
Booby.
Eric Snow. Booby.
Off of which squad?
Anderson Varejão.
Off that Cleveland Cavaliers squad.
Anderson Varejão.
See what I'm saying?
Kyle Korver.
See what I'm saying?
What's up?
Kyle Korver.
They were trash. They were trash.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go with.
Big
yeah.
Z? So, when you say threat, it's to me, threat is like they actually have a chance. Everybody knew they didn't have no damn chance to win that series. G?
Hey, man. But back to the question, though.
Right.
If you're talking about just you starting a team.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
And you want one of those two players?
Uh-huh. I got Luka still.
Listen.
I can see.
Don't take Trae.
No.
I'm taking Trae can put up 40 points.
Right. I'm going to take Trae.
Trae is the X factor.
I'm going to take
Trae.
Well, not just that. Because the whole building is going to scream, fuck Trae Young. And he's going to turn around and be like, yeah, fuck me. And I'm going to eliminate y'all ass. And I'm going to take a bow at half court.
Right.
I have never seen Luka do that.
Man,
I have never seen Luka do that.
I hate that commercial, but he did that shit once. And
he did it every night.
And then he turned around and went to Philly.
Or not even the
playoffs. And had he not stepped on the real foot, he would have been playing, talking about them playing in the
Hawks, they have it.
Yeah, they are. They are in the playoffs right now. Yes, if the season ends, they're in the play-in.
They're in the play-in game.
The play-in.
Yeah, they'll get the play-in.
No, he has.
See what I'm saying?
That's fine. And I'm still taking Luka.
He beat the Knicks and he beat the number one seed.
And I'm still taking Luka.
That's what's up.
I'm still taking Luka.
The best team in the league.
I get why y'all taking Luka.
Luka's in the West.
Commissioner Gordon.
Real quick. I want to ask this real quick. We talked QBs. We talked about Aaron Rodgers earlier. We were talking about his Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take Aaron Rodgers, A. Or B. Drew Brees.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is just
surgical. Don't be biased.
What do you say you need?
Hold on.
I'm surgical with this thing.
He's a diehard Bad fan. He hate Aaron Rodgers. Don't be biased. Who you taking? Don't be biased.
Aaron Rodgers, man.
Exactly.
Okay.
And here's why. They both play in great systems.
Yep. Yes.
You ain't see Drew Brees throwing on the run.
You don't.
You don't see Drew Brees hanging that thing out there 60 yards.
You don't. He can't.
He never could.
He could throw some
deep balls, but he wasn't hanging them out there for 60 yards in stride.
Yeah, Rodgers is a surgeon.
Yeah, he's surgical.
And
Drew Brees was accurate. And I give Drew Brees credit. If you look at his game, and I hate the Saints. But most of his stuff was timing routes.
Drew Brees
was throwing the ball before the receiver even broke out his route.
He had to because he didn't have his own talent. Like Rodgers,
Manning wasn't pretty. Manning didn't throw the ball pretty, so I hated watching him play the ducks.
But Aaron Rodgers,
the ball is tight every time. And it just make you want to see that pass. Like, how did he get that precision? Accuracy. It's like he's a robot.
And the thing is, Mahomes is the same.
Yeah, he is, because A-Rod is one of the cats that even though he's a pocket passer, you would rather have him in the pocket, because once he break that pocket, it's like that accuracy just go up.
It's like how?
It's like how you get that bitch out.
So let me get the last one. Last one.
Okay.
And we're gonna close out with this one. Last one is gonna be the young QBs.
Okay.
Last one is I wanna know. A or B? A, Josh Allen, or B, Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow.
Okay.
I like Joe. And I'm going to tell you why after everybody say their thing.
I'm taking Josh Allen.
I don't know enough about him.
Okay.
This is the only reason this one's hard for me. Josh Allen has the arm talent.
And the speed.
He has the speed and the ability to move the pocket, but his decision making.
Not like Joe Burrow's.
Joe Burrow know when to throw the ball away.
And his intangibles.
Joe Burrow know when to throw the ball away, and he know. I think Joe Burrow understand where his guys are on the field better than Josh Allen too.
Agree. I think sometimes Josh Allen just because of the fact that he knows he can run. So sometimes it's just like, fuck it, let me make this play. Regardless, whereas...
He's going to force every play.
Right, whereas to me, Joe Burrow is here, it's precision. He almost like a... I'm not saying he's motherfucking Tom Brady. I'm not saying he's a paid man. What I'm saying is he understands the game. He understands the X's and O's.
College.
Yeah.
It sounds like y'all talking about...
When you playing football in the SEC at quarterback... You have to understand the game like the NFL.
It sounds like y'all talking
Josh
about
Josh Allen playing for Wyoming. He ain't have to do the things in college that Joe Burrow had to do. He didn't face what Joe Burrow faced.
Right.
it's a white version of Canada.
But
we are at 632 South Central Avenue in Hapeville. I appreciate all of you for coming out. I'd like to thank everyone who came through and participated in the commissioner's conversation. Shouts out to my guy, one and only Poetic. He was our special guest in the first segment and stuck around and kicked it with us in the second segment. I appreciate you. Shouts out to my DJ, DJ Unique.
Hey.
There you go. Yes, sir. Shouts out to DJ Reese Boogie, my engineer and producer, keeping us tight and right over here. Also, shouts out to my guy G-Rush, my co producer. We talk every day. We put this thing together. We'd like to have everybody come around and put all this together and be a part of the conversation. And shouts out to you for listening. Once again, 632 South Central Avenue, Hapeville. We encourage you to come out every Monday. Have a drink with us. Have a smoke with us. Talk shit with us, because that's all we're doing. We out here having fun, having a good time, enjoying life, networking, small business, entrepreneurs, everybody who wants to just touch on and love on and embrace the community, we encourage you to come out. Until next week, I'll holler. DJ Unique, let's ride out, my brother.
Okay, bye.